Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The BMC is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. In recent years, there's been a notable drive for both B2B and B2C brands to clarify their brand purpose. While Simon Sinek's TED Talk remains just as relevant as it ever did, very few business marketing firms are getting brand purpose right, especially in professional services. And don't take my word for it, that's the word of my guest today, who is business marketer Sarah Donnelly. Sarah, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk all about brand purpose today. But before we do, tell us a bit about you. What do you do as a business marketer?
So I have worked both in-house and as a consultant. I'm currently doing some consultancy work. And I've generally been, from the start of my career, a generalist marketeer. But over the last 10 years, I've really started to focus a lot more on strategy and on brand. And brand purpose is something that I think has just grown in importance so much, particularly over the last 10 years. And it's now a very critical stage that businesses are thinking about it. So I've worked with a number of businesses from startups all the way through to huge global matrix organisations. And everyone's having the conversation, but I'm not often seeing it done right or done in a way that they feel entirely comfortable with.
Okay, so there's an assumption in there, which is that there's a reason why they should be considering brand purpose. So take us back to basics. Why? So this is on their agenda, but why is it on their agenda?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing that's key is all people buy things. So whether you're in B2B or you're in B2C, all buyers are people. And as people, we are affected by emotion. And Simon Sinek talks about this, you know, the different parts of the brain. You've got your logical part of your brain and practical, and then you've got your, your emotive part. And I think one of the things that I always say to people when I'm working with them is, can you tell me the last PowerPoint slide you saw? And they'll say, no. And I'll say, can you tell me a story your child or your partner has told you this week? And they can, because it's a story and it's emotive, right? And I think that's the why it's so important. I think why it's become higher up on the agenda is there's a massive rise in scrutiny of ESG, so environmental, social and governance in businesses. And that's driven by investors, whether that it's private equity or whether it's private investors, or, you know, it is a consideration and it will continue to rise and it will continue to be more important for businesses to report what they're doing from an ESG point of view. Investors now expect to see a brand purpose. They expect that to be part of that commitment. And talent are looking for that, and buyers are looking for that, because all of these different groups, it's all people, and they all want to buy something from a company they feel an affinity with and they believe holds the same values as them, because that's how you build trust with them. And I think there's definitely been a change in buyer journeys since digital came in so much more. People can learn so much more about you online before they even pick up the phone and speak to you. And so if your touch points aren't really pushing forward your personality of your brand, what you stand for, who you are. So coming back to the Simon Sinek point of not what you do, not how you do it. You know, there's often, particularly in professional services, very technical people, and they will go in and tell a client, well, this is your problem and I'm going to fix it doing this. And, you know, one of the things I say is, if I'm getting my telly fixed by a Sky engineer, I don't need them to tell me what they're doing to it. I just want it to be fixed, right? But I want to know that I can trust them and they're going to do the right thing. And, you know, and that's, you know, part of the brand of have why I have Sky TV, right? I trust that they'll send an engineer out who knows what they're doing, and I trust them to do what they do to fix it. So it's not about the what or the how. It's about the why. And it's People want to know why you do what you do, and having a brand purpose aids all of this. So yeah, I just think it's so important to businesses for a regulatory point of view as things move on. It's important for a brand reputation point of view. It's important for your people to know who you are, and it's important for your investors and your clients to know who you are and why you exist.
Okay, so you make it sound really compelling and really obvious, which is why you're such a great marketer and a great person to speak to. But it doesn't seem that organizations do brand purpose terribly well. So
No.
why is that?
I think in B2B, a lot of it is because they look at B2C brands, and some of them, and we'll talk about this a bit later, but some of them have got really, really good brand purposes and they really stand by them, and that's great. But a lot of B2B marketing, it's difficult for companies to say why they do what they do, and whether that's because they were formed 150 years ago and they don't remember why the person founded the business,
Yeah.
or because they're trying to link it too much to their heritage, or because they're trying to be different and quirky with it, or they think it's a strap line. And
Right.
it's not about one individual thing, and it's that understanding of what brand purpose is as the whole that often holds them back. And I think a key part of that is how authentic it is, because it can't just be, "We care about sustainability." Like, any company can say that. That's just a statement. If, and people aren't silly, and particularly B2B buyers, they will dig into whether you do what you say you do. And so if you can't evidence it, it becomes very difficult. I think a lot of firms think, well, we can do this just by reiterating our vision or mission or our values. And it's more than that. It incorporates so much more. It's, yes, the values form part of it. Yes, the vision forms part of it. Yes, the mission forms part of it. Some companies call it their passion, like Arcadis call it their passion. And it's a combination of things that come together. And in some ways, it doesn't really matter whether you call it your mission or whether you call it your vision or whether you call it your purpose. It's just if it really articulates why you exist, what you stand for. So it's really, what's your North Star? What really is important to you aside from profit? And you can never take away the fact that companies are commercial, right? No one's in business for fun. You might have fun along the way, but people are in business to be commercial. But there's much more to it than that. And so I think the key thing is, don't try and put a square peg in a round hole. It has to align to what you do as a business. It has to be believable. You have to be able to evidence it. And I think a key thing is, don't make it so bland that it could be applied to any other business, because anyone can say we care about people, planet, and profit, or we care about communities. But if you don't really do anything about it, it's not believable and it doesn't really mean anything.
Okay. So, I mean, what's interesting there in your answer is it kind of infers that actually not every organization is kind of ready to approach this right now. So what can firms do to decide if this is something that are ready to approach and take seriously?
I mean, I think the first thing is, firms should be doing this. I mean, it is important and it's just essential today, as I said. So I think, it's understanding why they should do it, and that will I'll come on to. But it's about saying, do we have values? Do we have a set of values? And most businesses do. Do we know why we're here other than to make money? And if they can't articulate that, whether it's already in a business strategy or written down somewhere, then how can they encourage their employees to be loyal? So I would say any company that is maybe in an industry where there's a lot of talent movement, which we've seen huge amounts of since COVID, what's your talent recruitment like, your stats? What's your talent retention like? Is your marketing resonating with your clients? Are you getting that traction with new buyers? And if you're not, then this may be part of it. And so when considering whether to do this, I think it's asking yourself questions of, is our decision making as efficient as it should be? Do we feel like we can really articulate who we are? Are we really a good person to work for, and are we retaining our talent? And if you've got issues with any of those, then you really should be thinking about your brand purpose.
Okay, compelling. So what let's talk a bit about what we're covering here. So when you talked about brand purpose, you said it was beyond a strap line and it was beyond a set of values. So tell us then, what are the other things that constitute a brand purpose that we should consider here?
So, in the same way as when you form a set of values, if they don't really mean anything, and they, if they're just a statement rather than this is important to us, and because of that, we do this, right? So, we do what we say. For example, if you're an employer that has a terrible score on Glassdoor, not that that's everything, has a really bad reputation of how you treat your people, you can't say we're people-centric because unless you can genuinely say that. It's the same with brand purpose. Brand purpose is a combination of what is your culture in your business? How do you talk about your business? How do you write about your business? How do you, your brand should come to life because of your brand purpose. It's not a logo. Like, branding is not a logo. The whole thing is it's much larger than that. It is culture, values, vision, mission. What's your business strategy? How do you work with your clients? How do you treat your buyers? How do you deliver what you deliver? Is quality really important to you? What's essential to your business and your people? And I think that's why a lot of firms end up reverting back to something quite generic that says, we care about our clients, our people, and our communities, because they don't know how to articulate it any other way. But actually, it's about having something that is specific to your business for it to work, and that it's authentic. So yeah, there's lots of elements to it, and I would say that all business have one or some of those elements, but it's how you bring it all together to really articulate why you exist.
So, what can businesses do then to truly embed this in their organization? Because it sounds like it's still coming back to boardroom discussions at the moment as to, well, should we? Are we? So how do
Yeah.
you go a bit further than that?
So all boards should be thinking about this, and a lot of them are. There's a report by a lady called Karen Cohn that she did in 2020, but I think it's still relevant, called the B2B Purpose Paradox. And in that, it does say that, a huge percentage of businesses are looking at this. And it also found that 88% of buyers consider it important for brands to articulate a clear vision or purpose for them to build that trust. It does start at the boardroom, and boardroom should care, because if you get it right, it can affect the bottom line. People should feel that what they're doing is important and means something. And particularly as younger generations come through, they want to be doing something that's meaningful. And when I've had conversations in some of the firms I've worked in, it's how you bring that to life for people. So, for example, I had a conversation with some people who were quite newly qualified when in engineering when I was at a firm. And they were working at an airport, and I said, what are you doing at the airport? And they said, it's quite boring, really. We're doing cabling. I said, well, why are you doing the cabling? What's the cabling for? And they said, well, we're improving the Wi-Fi, because at the moment there's lots of gaps of Wi-Fi across the business, across the airport. And with that, people can't use their digital boarding cards, so they're wasting a lot of money on printing boarding cards, and it's causing lots of confusion and delays and things, and that costs a lot of money. So I said, wow, so you're basically helping someone have a much nicer travel experience. They're either with work going to something stressful and you're calming it, or they're going on holiday and it gets off to a great start and it's smoother. And they're like, yeah, actually, we're doing something really cool. But sometimes you have to help people to see that. And brand
The link.
purpose, and brand purpose helps them to tell those stories and bring that forward, because the business is saying, right, at the top, this is what we care about, and it's feeding all through the business. And that comes on to, what do they need to do? Involve everyone in the process. Once the board has decided they really want to do this, and if you're a marketing leader, a business marketeer leading, and this isn't being talked about at the boardroom table, bring it to the boardroom table and show how compelling it is and why it matters. But the key thing is to involve everyone at all levels in the process and listen to people. Don't make assumptions, because we do that all the time in business. Actually, you've really got to listen to everyone at every level. And then you've got to test things that you come up with, whether you're doing it or an agency's helping you. Really test things and see whether they resonate with people, because if they don't, maybe you're going down the wrong road. It's essential once you agree it to train people at all levels for them to understand what it means and why it's important. An example of that was when I was at Arcadis, we had a rebrand, and part of that was launching the passion of improving quality of life and being recognized as the best. And helping people understand what that meant, you know, the fact that improving quality of life was all about working for the client's client. So if they were redesigning a railway station, what does that mean to the traveler's experience? You know, if they were doing some environmental work to clean up a chemical spill, what does that do for the local community? And so the more people started to hear the stories and understand why that it was becoming this passion, the more they thought about what they were doing that contributed to that, but also they believed it both internally and externally because it could be evidenced. And the being recognized as the best bit was because they'd brought 14 operating companies together who were incredibly well known, long heritages, you know, 125-year heritage for some one of them, 150 for another. And the name wasn't really known in certain key markets. So it's how do we use this, you know, this brand to be better recognized? So I think that's important. Ensure it runs through all of your marketing. You know, if you keep reiterating it, it's going to stick. You know, so if we did a case study there, we would always talk about it improving quality of life. So you start to embed it far more, embed it in policies and processes. So it's not just something that we're nodding to. It's really, you know, it's essential. It's part of the business. I think living by it. So, you know, as helping the leaders to live by it and really, you know, if they don't believe it, they're not going to live by it, and it's not going to work. And I think constantly referring it to whenever somebody in the business is speaking internally or publicly, you know, that they're talking about it and they're bringing it to life in some way, whether they're speaking at a conference, whether it's an investor meeting, whether it's PR. And I think those things are really, really key. And it just helps your people to tell the stories as well. And in doing so, they'll continue to feel more affinity with it. And that will help. And I think that definitely really helps with loyalty. And it also attracts people to you. So I think that's really important.
And you, I mean, you mentioned a few examples there, but are there, I'm asking you to, you know, give us an example we can copy. Which businesses do brand purpose well that we can kind of look to emulate? Could you give us a few examples?
Yeah, I mean, there's a real mix. And I think if you look at a lot of professional services, they are quite similar to one another, which makes it hard to choose one. But there are others that you can look at and you can start to see. I definitely think if anybody hasn't watched Simon Sinek's TED talk on why that they should, because that will bring it to life. And he talks a lot about Apple in there. And I think that gives a really good idea. But they're quite unique as a company, right? Same as Lego, have got great brand purpose, but they're quite unique. However, people that have been doing it a long, long time and do it really, really well. For example, Innocent Drinks have been doing this since the day they started, and you know they've done it long before other people. They did set up their company to really care. Their purpose is to make natural, tasty drinks that help look after people and the planet. And to do that, they know they need to get everyone involved, and so they really use that through all of their marketing. And you believe it, right? You believe that that's what they care about. As you engage with that brand. If you look at Starbucks are an interesting one to look at. They have evolved their what they call their mission and promise rather than their brand purpose, but it is their brand purpose. And it's a mixture of really what they call their mission is their brand purpose, and then what their promises are really their values. But if you look at it, you go onto their website and you look at their stories about it, it's evolved so much over the years, but it's kept its core. So the core of it is about, if you look at 2008, they said to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. Last year, they issued a new one, but it still says, with every cup, every conversation, with every community, we nurture the limitless possibilities of human connection. So they've kept it still at the core, and then their promises kind of go on a bit more to talk about, you know, how they engage with their suppliers, their customers, etc. If you look at B2B, I definitely think that I've mentioned Arcadis. I think they stand by that and they still use that passion, and it does come through in what they do and when they talk about their business. You know, I will You'll know better than I do because you work for Bringer, and I don't know it's necessarily been put on their website that this is our purpose. But you know, even without it being a purpose, even with it being the campaigns that you're doing, you know, the economics of kindness comes through, and you're seeing that all the time attached to Bringer. And so you think Bringer, you think kindness. And so I think it's really those are the sorts of companies I would be looking at, and looking at how are they doing this well, but also, you know, in your day to day, as you're looking at competitors, when you're doing some research, as you're looking at, you know, companies that you come across that are suppliers and things, really look at whether they have a brand purpose and whether and how you think that works and what would you maybe do differently. So I think that's key, and those brands are ones that have taken it seriously. And if you look back through media and things, particularly as we're talking about, you know, someone like Starbucks, a very well-known brand, and they've had their brand issues at times of reputation issues, as many companies have. But how do they survive that? They survive that by all uniting around this common purpose. And so having that, it does bring teams together, it brings people together, it, you know, helps people understand what they're doing. And also it does provide a benchmark to measure yourselves again. And I would actually say it makes decision making easier. Because if you're sitting there saying, okay, our internal comms needs looking at, are we communicating with our people in the right way? How do we do that? If you know what your purpose is and what you want to say, you're going to find it much easier to answer that question and think about how you're going to communicate with them than if you don't have it. Yeah.
Great examples, especially the one about Baringa, but maybe I'm biased. So Bonnie, thank you. So it's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.